It's bonus pod, a 210.
You arrive at the after party for the TV show you've just seen. Wow, you can't believe it. You're finally at the after party of...
Pooh Friends.
Pooh Friends. God's sake. I was going to go for a real TV show.
Oh, okay.
Now I've got to make double things up. You can't believe it. You got to see a live recording of Pooh Friends at the studio. All the audience was so excited. They were shouting all the catchphrases that you said along at home. Poopy, poopy, poo, poo. And splat, where's my hat? And oh no, Stinky, not you again. All the catchphrases came up in the live recording of Pooh Friends. And that would have been enough. That would have been enough. But as you were leaving the studio, a guy wearing a lanyard said, "Excuse me, Podbud. That's your name, isn't it?" And you go, "Yes, how do you know?" And they go, "You've been specially selected to come attend the after party. Would you like to?" And you go, "Oh my God." And I'll get to meet the cast. I'll get to meet all the actors from Pooh Friends. And the security guy goes, "And the producers." And you go, "Okay, fine." And he takes you onto the street, down a road, and then boom, da-bap-dum, boom. You hear like the muffled boom, da-bap-dum, boom. Muffled party sounds, boom, da-bap-dum. Muffled behind a door, behind a wall, and party sounds, boom, da-bap-dum, boom, da-bap-dum, da-bap-dum, boom. And he opens this nondescript black door in this alley. And he says, "Enjoy." And he kicks you and into the room and slams the door. And oh my God, it smells of pure shit, my friends. This place, it smells of pure shit because it's Pooh Friends. They've sprayed in shit smell. It's the theme is Pooh Friends. And so they've committed the scene theme at this after party. Boom, tabapta, boom, tabapta. There's haze, there's funky lights, boom, tabapta. And you turn around a corner and you see the dance floor and they're all there. The biggest stars of Pooh Friends. There's Daddy Poop, played by Jeremy Hares. There's Eliza Poop, played by Amanda Strongfinger. There's Poochie the Poopy Pooch Pooch, the family dog, played by Toby Jones. They're all here. And you think, wow, I've really made it. I'm at the center of culture, the center of television. I'm at the Pooh Friends after party. And then you get a tap on the shoulder. And you turn around and it's Phil and Pierre. And we say, "You shouldn't be here." And you go, "What? Sorry." The guy said, "You shouldn't." We go, "You shouldn't be here. This is only for people who are in Pooh Friends." And you go, "But I wasn't. I was told that I was invited to the after party." And you say, "We say you should. You're merely a fan of Pooh Friends. You're not a Pooh Friend yourself." And you go, "I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to intrude. I didn't mean to." And then you catch a moment of inspiration. "I didn't mean to impood." And there's a moment's silence. You could cut the tension with a knife. The music has stopped. Everyone's looking over at you. Amanda Strongfinger, Toby Jones, the first person I said, they're looking at you. And then you're like, "Huh?" You hear a laugh coming from the dance floor. And out comes Sir Barry Shitstain, the original writer of the first episode of Pooh Friends. And he's going, "Excellent. Improved. Perfect. We'll have it for the next episode. Come and join the party." And you go, "Thanks." And he goes, "Not you, Phil and Pierre." and we pick you up and we throw you out into the cold and we say, thanks for the joke, pod bud. Don't hit your poo on the way out. And you go, but that wasn't even good. And then we slam the door behind you. Welcome to Bonus Pod.
I like that. There's a lot going on in the internal politics there.
Yeah, it's brutal. The poo friends writing process, writing team, the production, the crew, it's really brutal. Everyone's out for themselves. It's a real hierarchy. But the honor of writing and working on Poo Friends is so great that, you know, people put up with
it. It's a lion's den. And Podbud was chucked out in a way for being so good off the cuff.
For being too good and crucially, for being too innocent.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a killer.
You're not a killer.
You're not a killer.
You're not a killer.
You've been watching Succession?
I have. I'm one episode behind.
Wah, wah.
No spronglers. No spronglers.
I'm going to sprong it for you. I'm going to tell you what happens in sprong it.
New spronglers. I'm enjoying it a lot. Without spoilers for you guys listening, at one point one character makes a speech that made the hairs on the back of my neck stick up. I loved it.
Oh, I know the speech. Ooh, it's good stuff.
Lovely.
It's good stuff.
Any spice from you, Phil?
Well, on the subject of Succession, I had a session yesterday, a training gym session with my personal trainer, a lovely, lovely fella. A lovely fella called Jake. And I said, while I was on the bench pressing just the unloaded 20-kilo bar, I said, you're watching Succession? And he said, what? And I said, Succession. And he just looked at me. And I said, have you heard of Succession? And he just went, nope. And I it was in that moment, and this is my spicy take, some people are just completely detached from what we think is culture.
Oh, God, yeah, totally.
Completely detached. I was astonished. Because he's a funny guy. He's smart. He's cool. And he'd never, not only was he not, had he not, what, not watching Succession, he was not just behind a Succession. He wasn't just, oh, yeah, I've heard it's great, but I just haven't started yet. He was, I've never heard of Succession.
I don't know what you mean.
Extraordinary.
Yeah.
Extraordinary. I was in shock. I nearly dropped the dumbbell onto, the, well, not the dumbbell, the dumbbell.
The barbell.
The dumbbell. The barbell. Right onto my lickle throat. I was so surprised.
Yeah, it's a thing to remember that we are the cultural elite, which is like being the elite, but it means you're really good at poems and you have no money or power.
yeah.
Whenever the right,
well, he's part of the physical elite.
The physical, exactly. Whenever the right wing complain about the liberal cultural elite, I think what they really mean is, I'm really right-wing and I like art as well, but I don't feel comfortable at any of your parties.
Right. Yes.
And I resent that I can't come to the cool parties, and that the right-wing has cool parties, but they're kind of like Davos or whatever. They're a bit sort of like bankers who ski.
Yes. If they're not cool.
No, and if you're in...
No matter how opulent they are, they're not cool.
Yeah, and if you're on the right and you like art or good writing or whatever, you probably feel quite put off by how you sort of are made to feel like a bit of a mill house.
Yes. Yeah, because the left does have a monopoly on cool and on culture.
Yes.
Even when they're wrong about something. They have the Corbynites had for a long time a monopoly on cool. Because there were the people the grime artists were coming out for, you know.
Yeah.
And they undeniably had that monopoly. And so even as a center-leftist, I understand where the right-wingers are coming from.
Oh, I understand why they're annoyed. The thing where they fall down is where they pretend that it's like being annoyed that there's a single first-class cabin on a cruise ship filled with hippies that you're not allowed in, and they're smoking weed and having a laugh. But you also own the cruise ship, and you're in charge of where it goes, and you're the captain of the ship, and you're a millionaire.
Right, but I guess not all right-wing people are those very rich people.
No, sure.
And even,
but they phrase it as if somehow the hippies in this one cabin are in charge of the ship, and that's outrageous.
Right, okay, yes, sure. But in a sense, they're right about the left. I mean, the left does captain the ship of culture, really.
Sure, maybe. I mean society. Okay. These guys are not being specific as we are. They're always just going like, it's like that ridiculous, the big discourse on Twitter the last few weeks has been about how the country's being run by the liberal elite. And it's like, well, it's had a conservative government for over a decade, so I don't really know how that works.
Yeah.
And like, what, you think, it's like Liz Truss saying that like lefty bankers fucked up her economic plan.
Yeah, it's pretty like, come on, stuff.
I mean, it's getting to the point of silliness.
Yeah, no, that is very silly.
If you're saying it because you're like the world's only hard right libertarian playwright, well then, yeah.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm thinking of when we were talking earlier, is sort of artistically involved right wing people who are frustrated.
Yeah, but then that's us doing the same problem as we're talking about with your trainer is being like, well, no, those guys do have a tough time of it here in the world, and it's like, no, it's just like, out of the tiny percentage of artsy-fartsy fuckers who know what succession is, these guys don't do too well, but they do well in every other sphere, you know? Because our world is the left-wing cultural world. We perceive these guys as having a hard time of it, whereas on average in society, they are not.
Which guys are having a hard time?
The right-wing artsy types.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
So it's easy to be like, God, here in this tiny clubhouse where everyone has a BA, they really are having it, you know? Whereas in reality, these guys are just like, why can't we have that as well? I saw a funny tweet which was saying the reason that you don't get as much right-wing representation in the arts is because the arts doesn't make any money.
Oh, that's a good point. I think that's the best theory I've heard.
Have you seen how much money the average novelist makes?
No.
Like the average first-time novelist makes something like 14 grand a year? You can't live on that. Well, not...
No.
Not to any healthy degree. Certainly not in London.
No. No, that's terrible.
So that's a...
But I have to be careful with my trainer, because I once called, as I often do, Afterlife a show for stupid people. And he looked sort of shocked.
he revealed his Afterlife tattoo on his abs.
I didn't ask if he watched Afterlife, because I thought I'll just move on. But he was shocked to hear that I had anything negative to say about Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
So like this is how much TV this guy watches, or like how much comedy he watches. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But it was a moment where I realized, oh, we live very, very different lives.
Oh, but I mean, like when it comes to comedy, we're like wine snobs, you know. We're like sitting there going like, well, yeah, it's not with that grape. Like no one normal should know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You're already part of this like taste elite if you've even got a negative opinion on this, you know.
Yes.
Like it's as dangerous. I suppose what I'm saying is it's as politeness, like manners wise, it's as dangerous to freely offer up your elite comedy opinions as it would be about wine in mixed company. It could make you come across very badly.
Yeah. I felt like I was coming across as a snob for sure.
You were ragging on Malbec at the normal people dinner party, Phil. People like Malbec. It's nice, Phil.
Nothing wrong with a little,
it's versatile.
Nothing wrong with a little Malbec. What's your spicy take?
What's my spicy take? My spicy take is it's not that spicy. I saw a tweet where someone was complaining about noise in like Soho, and I think if you have a noise complaint, the noise has to be new after the date in which you began living in the property.
Okay, let's start this again. The noise has to be new with regards
to...
So
if
noise
you
has
move
to have
next
happened...
door to Mega Fuck Nightclub, you can't then submit a noise complaint a week later.
Oh, yeah.
You're new, the nightclub isn't.
Yeah, they really need to fucking sort this out in the centre of London.
Did you see
the fucking laws we have?
Did you see that survey? About post-pandemic, no. About what percentage of the surveyed population believe that nightclubs and noisy music venues should never reopen? And it was over 20%.
Wow.
There's a lot of, but I need to get my sleepy sleeps Nazis out there who just want, they just go, well, I'm in my 40s, I don't need to go out and do things, and I resent people doing it, so I'm just going to shut it down.
But how many people even live next to live music venues? If you don't live in Soho itself, and you shouldn't.
Well, there's council flats and stuff was the point this person was making, whining on Twitter.
Oh.
But people do also live there separate to the council flats. They're just fabulously wealthy in assets, if nothing else. Mm. But people move next door to massive nightclubs in London and do get them served with noise complaints. Like, it's legally possible.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Whenever I don't like leaving a pub and seeing that sign. I mean, I don't like... Equally, look, I'm the guy in the pub who leaves quietly whether you ask him or not. I'm not part of the screaming group of dickheads who like barrel into the street. I don't like them either. But I do think if you move to a house that's facing a pub, you should maybe think, oh, I'll probably hear the pub.
Yeah, Nightlife London is really fucked by these laws, and they really should do something about it, but they won't. They just never, ever do.
Not everywhere can be a creche for your fucking hobbies.
It's really fucking embarrassing having, like, you know, guests from America or, like, Europe, you know, come visit London, and if you're, you know, if you're not somewhere good by 10 p.m., the night's probably over. If you're not in somewhere, if you don't have a plan, if
there
you're
are
not
there are places, but they're like secrets.
Yeah, and they're not particularly good because they don't have to be because they're the only option.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. That's not a very spicy take, but I just... I just don't think... I'm not against whining as long as you have a leg to stand on, but I don't think you do in that context.
No legless whining.
No legless whining. Whining's got to have legs. What's my other...
Speaking of whining...
What's
Sorry?
My other spicy take? I find the huge scandals enveloping the S&P very funny because I don't really like the S&P.
Oh, yes. It's fantastic. Every day, another scandal. Every day, another example of misconduct. Every day, the S&P falls in its appeal. And once again, Pierre, if I ever write a memoir... an actual memoir, not my quasi memoir, which is out and available still in all good bookshops. If I ever write like an actual detailed memoir about my life, it will be titled Politically Vindicated. Because every single time I take a strong political stand on something, I'm fucking vindicated. In 2 years, max?
Yeah.
I'm always fucking right.
And
Brexit, easy one, obviously.
Yeah.
Corbyn, less easy, especially the circles we run in. But yeah. Completely vindicated. S&P, again tricky in our line of work. Again vindicated. Will someone please stop me being so vindicated all the time? It's exhausting, all this vindication.
It's also because you don't come out strongly on many things. You save your ammo.
I'm a sniper.
You're a sniper. You'd have been wrong by now if you'd been one of those opinion addicts, but you're not, so... Yeah, it's true.
I'm a super forecaster, Pierre. Maybe I should join these weird super forecaster events.
Become an analyst.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But yes, the S&P, it turns out they're... someone is arrested...
Today.
Yeah.
But yeah, very funny.
Yeah, it's just great because, you know, hopefully means a resurgent Labour in Scotland. Which I think is important. We've spoken about this before. You're a lot more confident about a Labour victory than I am.
Yeah.
I think it's likely, but if this country's taught me anything, it's to not take common sense for granted with regards to voting.
No, it's easy to become gun-shy after being shot in the face. That's true, but fingers crossed.
So I think Scotland will be important. Anyway.
We should do some correspondence from the VIPs.
Yes. Yes. Hi, I'm Wacky Jackie of Wacky Jackie's Pizzas, the craziest pizzas in town. Come get your crazy pizzas only from Wacky Jackie. We're famous for putting only the craziest toppings on your pizza. We'll put anything on there, no questions asked. Just ask us to put anything on there. We don't care. We don't care if it's dangerous or illegal or hard to find. We'll find it. We'll put it on that pizza. Any topping you want. Toy cars, little bits of dog food, some dirt off the ground, grass. We'll put it on there. We'll put it on your pizza. You want a Hawaiian pizza? We'll put a full Hawaiian person on it. We don't care. We don't care. We'll put human meat on a pizza. We'll put human meat on a pizza. You just name the person, give us their address, and we'll hunt them down. We'll kill them. We'll butcher. We'll put them on a pizza, whatever pizza you want. We'll stuff the crust. We'll stuff the crust with anything you want. We'll stuff the crust with glue and cork. We'll stuff the crust. We'll stuff the crust. We'll stuff the cheese. We'll stuff the cheese with more cheese. We'll stuff the cheese with the crust. We'll take off, we'll cut off the crust. We'll stuff it in the cheese of the pizza. We don't care. We're Wacky Jackie's pizzas. We'll put anything in there. We'll put anything on Wacky Jackie's pizzas. Every pizza, only $8. $8, 8 pounds, 8 rubles, 8. We don't care about your currency. The number's 8 every single time. We don't bother to look up the conversion. We don't care. As long as it's 8, we'll take it. 8 Bitcoin, 8 pebbles. We don't care. Give us 8. Give us 8. Wacky Jackie's pizzas. We'll put anything on there. We'll put picture frames on the pizza for you. We won't frame the pizza. We'll put picture frames on the pizza. Every pizza, though, must have a tomato base. We will not be moved on that. Wacky Jackie's pizzas. Come get you any topping you want. Call us now by dialing the first 10 numbers you think of. We promise it'll work. Just do it. You'll get through to us, Wacky Jackie. Go visit our website, www.wackyjackiepizzas.org.biz. Wacky Jackie's pizzas. We're everywhere and nowhere at once. We have no single location. We move around so that people can't catch us. Where we'll find you, oh, you bet we'll find you. No matter where you live, we'll do worldwide delivery. Same cost. 2 empty CD cases. You remember when the cases, the old CDs were coming? Just that clear, sort of clear plastic case. Take out the little booklet. Take out the art of the whatever band is that the CD was for. The Cause, or Michael Jackson, or Yo-Yo Ma, we don't care. We just need 2 of those crystal CD cases and we'll ship it anywhere. We mean anywhere. Wacky Jackie's Pizzas, call now. We're out of our fucking minds.
It's our old friend Yaroslav.
Yaroslav, the Yara gloves are off.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. Meh. Yaroslav says, hello, Puride and Prejudice.
Really good.
Really good.
That's top stuff.
Regarding your conversation about football fans, let me regale you with a tale that made me believe football in general should be illegal. There's quite a distance from my hometown to the city where I currently live, and my very occasional trips to visit family take 6 to 8 hours by train.
Whoa! Is this in Poland?
It's a Central European distance. Surely.
Gosh.
While it's understandably tiring, the fare is usually uneventful, except for a spot of delayed train here and there, or in an overcrowded carriage there. Imagine my surprise when a few years ago, just before my return trip, a view of a picturesque train station was marred by the appearance of fully armed riot police.
No, Lord.
Shields and all, like a tank in a Thomas Kincaid painting.
Gosh, I didn't even know that.
No, I don't know that either. We're uncultured compared to Yaroslav.
Thomas Kincaid? Mm.
It turned out that a group of football fans was being transported to an away match. What's worse, the reserved seats my brother and I had were in the carriage that was fully occupied by scarf-wearing orcs, trolls, and goblins.
What?
Huh?
Eh? So I was looking up Thomas Kincaid.
We told the carriage that their seats were reserved in was fully occupied by scarf-wearing orcs, trolls, and goblins.
Oh, gross. Yuck. Oh, football scarves.
Yes, my friend.
Yes.
When we entered, we were greeted with a yell of, "We don't want you here, it's our place," and so on. I'm sure that's in translation. I mean, I'd love an English football fan to say that. It's our place. We told the police guarding the entry to the carriage about our issue, and we were met with an astonished, "So what, you want to stay here?"
What? From the police?
Well, they're like, "Yeah, the carriage is full of cunts, so do what you want in. You want
right,
your seats."
Right, yeah. I assumed he was asking the police to kick him out.
Oh, no, no.
Which is what I'd want.
Prompting us to move to another carriage. Well, maybe they did ask that, but the police were just like, "Look, even if you kick out the 2 in the seats, it's what, the whole carriage is still there, and they're angry that you've kicked out their mates, so enjoy your train."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The thing is, due to all the seats being reserved, we were forced to stand in the tight corridor leading to the separate compartments for almost 3 hours, while some of the beer-fueled hooligans were squeezing by us to go to the unoccupied toilets in all the other carriages. Horrible.
I'm getting like palpitations.
I don't like this story.
Imagining this.
Highlights from the whole journey. One, an older man in the same situation as us calling the football fans bastards, with one of them replying, "Sir, I respectfully agree that we should not be here. An entirely separate train should have been allocated to us. But what can you do?"
That's reasonable.
Two, people from the rival tribe throwing stones at the train when it arrived at the town of the away match.
Oh my gosh, so they're on the way to the match.
Yeah, I fully expected a makeshift spear to pierce the roof at some point. Three, ticket inspector telling us that we can return to our designated seats after the hooligans left, even though the whole carriage was tainted and no longer habitable. And that we can apply for compensation, but it would amount to approximately £1. Because it's just the lack of access to the reserved seats for 3 hours and nothing more. Koji Yadiswerf.
Horrible, horrible, horrible. Although it is somewhat gratifying to know that this is not purely British misery.
Horrible. Shit.
The
awful.
Sports fans on a train. It is awful. I still get off sometimes on your story of getting... Was it rugby fans kicked off a train?
No, they were Welsh, but they were football fans.
Fair enough.
Yeah, got them kicked off a train.
Fabulous. In the middle of the night.
No, early morning. Early morning.
They had no way to continue their journey. They were stranded.
It was weird because they were all like still wasted and like high on coke from the whole night they've been partying. But they were all in their like 40s and 50s.
Pathetic, horrible,
so
depressing.
It was very strange to be like, I'm a late night clown and I'm telling you off. You know, dad. Extremely strange. What have we got? Oh, did we already talk about Luckman's correspondence on the main pod?
We've definitely read Luckman's Luckman recently.
We've done a recent Luckman. We have. Luckman. It was the correspondence. We've catered to him.
Yeah. Yes.
That's right. This is correct. Thank you, Luckman. It's such a good name. I really like it.
Luckman. I just like
Luckman. Hang on. Yet another message of someone saying they can't access the episodes. It's a shame that this keeps happening, but it's always just like some answers on the FAQ or, I mean, obviously, ironically, if you're listening to this, you don't need my help anymore, but on the Patreon, I've posted that thing where like, if you've solved the problem, please put your solutions underneath, because it generally does just boil down to using a different app or reinstalling something.
Yeah, turning off and on again and shit. You know that saying that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome? That doesn't carry in the digital age, where turning something off and on again and doing the exact same thing might fix it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's no longer insane to do.
It's no longer insane. I think that's true. And, yeah, apologies for any difficulties, but it really is just down to Patreon being weird. Or something as simple as not finding the button on a badly designed app. Chris gets in touch.
Chris, do not diss us,
yeah, please. Chris says, "Evening shitsters."
Evening. It is kind of evening.
Kind of evening. Well, he sent us two things here, which I'll go through. He said, "Bought some duty-free booze from a great little shop in Andorra, but look at the state of this fucking migraine of a bag." And it's a bag that's covered in tat. So I'll show you on the little camera there. It's just like, you know, where it's like a big word jumble.
Oh, yeah, horrible, horrible,
insane
horrible
mixture of fonts and little pictures. So I'll read it to you as though it's a sentence.
Okay.
"Hello, everyone is awesome, Orange. Hey, Smile Travel 62, best resides, team and family forever. Cave, Maeve Bagass Lover is not a game.
Cave.
Old forever, Pom Pom, original, like in this West Indies. Maliol, be happy, drink forever, I love whiskey. Gin Cane, love rum, fam. Show you memories are created. Established 2016. Roars. Andorra, give your when you need it. Don't look back, punch, go punch, passion parfait."
And that was the day we had to shoot Pierre.
Me saying all that with my eyes getting glowing redder and redder and slowly ascending into the air. Shoot him! Shoot him! I've been crying laughing at the tweet someone did of Wallace, like, quote, Wallace voice. The gun, Gromit! Kill me, lad!
Was that all it said?
Yeah, it's just a tweet. The gun, Gromit, kill me, lad. So funny. The gun, Gromit, kill me, lad.
The gun, Gromit, kill me,
kill
lad.
Kill me, lad.
With his big...
Yeah, the kill gun, me, Gromit, lad. Like pointing with his big clay hand.
Gromit.
Gromit, kill me, lad. With like a zombie bite on his neck or whatever, who knows. So funny. And Chris also says, in light of the latest episode discussing absolutely mental scam adverts, I saw one a few years ago, context-free, and has haunted me ever since. And he's attached it. Let's see. Oh, my, oh my God.
Wow. It's really got you. Let me see. Oh.
Describe that, please.
So, oh, it's like a woman's bottom half. It's her legs. She's wearing a thong. It's her legs go up to her belly button and then her waist. But the waist instantly becomes neck and head of a blonde lady.
Yeah.
So it's like a head into like belly button and legs. No arms, no torso.
Yeah.
It's like, it looks like an AI art generator's fucked up.
It's extremely odd and very funny. But there's not really an ad for anything. Chris says, certainly no belly
it's
fat.
One way to lose weight. Yeah. This one weird tip lost this lady 50 pounds or whatever.
Lost her unsightly elbows. Certainly no belly fat to be concerned about. Perhaps she has no life insurance, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Thanks for the haunting image.
Thank you, Chris.
And that's all the time we have for this Bony Poo.
It's all the time we have, bitches. Thank you for listening. Come see me at Leicester Square Theatre, 15th of June, please.
Yes, it will be good. Otherwise, we'll see you next time. Enjoy your life. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the night. Bye-bye. Bye.